if you look back in your life, when you were doing team sports, I feel like it kind of comes with a certain time frame in your life where this is part social, and it's very elevating and stimulating from a social standpoint, the group fitness, and then obviously the exercise part. So it's not just I gotta work out, but it's rather like I want to have a good time. I want to be surrounded by other people. Even if you don't talk to them, it's just nice to be in a group setting.
Yeah, we are very, we're social creatures. So it's to be isolated, that is just, that's kind of like the first, they even say in this article, that's one of the primary characteristics of depression, isolation. Mm-hmm. You know, when you separate yourself from other people and you lack that interaction, that's a very huge contributing factor to depression. So,
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch. Thanks for stopping by and checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. You don't know how many times I had to do that in order to get that intro right. This week, you've got Nick and myself talking about some of the news headlines, because there's always something new out there, and we're here to break it down for you.
Yeah, and these two articles that we're kind of going to be looking at are related to another kind of topic, something that we're going to let you guys know about what ETT, my personal training business, is doing that you guys can participate in. Mm-hmm. Participate in. Yeah, how about that for a tease?
It's always good stuff.
Yeah. So also, guys, don't forget, please head to addictedtofitnesspodcast.com, and you can check out a whole wide range of information about our past topics and past episodes, including each week's show notes and our affiliates like Stick Mobility. You know what? I've been sharing Stick Mobility with a lot of people as of late, really turning people on to it. So
you've been turning on people.
I'm turning on a lot of people lately. How dare you?
How dare you?
This is a family show.
Oh my god!
Family show. Yes, people. Now you got me going on the wrong track. Guys, check out Stick Mobility. The link to their website is on our affiliates page, on our shop page, on addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. Thank you for getting us off on that tangent.
Well, and to get back on the right road.
Thank you.
I will say, from what I've heard and what I've seen, it's nice to see people in the actual fitness industry really starting to step up and pay attention to Stick Mobility.
Right.
I mean, as far as like the Tampa Bay area in particular, because you've got people coming to take your class and check out Stick Mobility for the first time. You're basically the Stick Mobility guy.
Yeah, we had
Tampa Bay, which is what you wanted to be.
Exactly. Yeah, we had a trainer last week come out from another facility. Said, you know, he's been seeing us online and wanted to check it out. So that's exactly right. And that's the whole goal, to be the Tampa Stick guy.
Yeah, and for those of you who may not understand what we mean by Stick, like be the Stick guy or Stick Mobility, we have a whole episode that we will link to in our show notes that you can check out exactly what Stick Mobility is and hear all about not just where it came from, but what it really does for you and the benefits. So check that out too, because it's pretty darn incredible, and it's not difficult. In terms of, like, it's not unapproachable for people. It's great for people of all fitness and health levels.
Absolutely, you guys. And, of course, if you ever want to see it in action, follow ET Tampa on Instagram, ETTAMPA. A lot of videos I throw up there.
You do some very, like, bendy, like, flexibility kind of stuff. You're real bendy.
All right, so speaking of training, let's keep going. Let's go into our training recaps. Now, you have some big news you're about to announce, because something that we used to talk about on the podcast a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be making its return.
I don't think it's big news.
Oh, it's big news.
It's not really big news. It's not for anybody else but me.
Yeah, that's why it's big.
So we took a break from our Peloton subscription. The Peloton is a stationary bike, but it is also a live and really dynamic stationary bike. Mm-hmm. You can take classes on it. We have an old review at this point. I feel like it's old. It was probably a couple years ago at this point. It's hard to believe we've been doing this that long. Yeah, one of the kind of early episodes was a review that you did of Peloton, and they have made some big improvements to the interface and added a lot of instructors. So I'm kind of thinking it's going to look different and feel different when I get into it, and I'm pretty excited about it, to be honest.
We might have to do another on-bike review. Yeah. Now it's changed so much. Yeah, that was way back. I mean,
it was in the early days before anybody knew what it was. Yeah,
kind of like in the 20s.
What is this newfangled bicycle that you're could have been like 100 episodes in your living room. Almost. Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely now you guys probably see it. You've heard of Peloton now. There's billboards for it. There's a store at our local mall here in Tampa now. They're dedicating to Peloton. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. I enjoy it also, but, you know, I know Shannon's, that's her love, her exercise.
That and yoga? Piece of exercise.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's my jam right there. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing yoga, and I've been throwing in the, like, occasional HIIT workout here and there. Which is always hilarious because I feel it the next day and I'm like, well, I haven't worked those muscles in a while.
Right. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, just feeling muscles that I haven't felt in a while. One thing, obviously, stick, definitely, when I'm working a lot of stick, I definitely feel that a lot because, like you said, it works a lot of range of motion. Mm-hmm. Don't give me any weird look at stick. I know where your mind is going. Get it out of the gutter, lady. All right, so
I don't know what you're talking about.
But I've also doing a lot of kickboxing and sparring as of lately, which is really a kind of I used to do it a lot.
That was one of your early passions.
Yes. When I was doing obviously when I was training for kickboxing, I had to spar a lot. Then when I got out of training, it was more bag work, mitt work, and really not participating in sparring. Which honestly, I miss it sometimes, but now after this whole week, literally this past week, or actually this past month, I've probably sparred more than I have in the last couple of years. Because I've got, not only do I have another client, a new client, who's a new old friend, one of my fraternity brothers, now training with me, who's a former fighter. I'm doing pad work with him and sparring with him. I'm also training Spanish, who you guys, if you've listened to podcasts before, has been a longtime client of mine, is also doing another celebrity boxing match. Talk about old episodes. I talked about his past performance on last year around this time.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing another boxing event, so he's getting ready for that. So I've been sparring with him. And then, of course, I went with him to my old gym's Amir's Academy. Mm-hmm. And
a former guest as well. Yes,
thank you. And decided to do some full speed sparring. You know, I have been going pretty light sparring, but then, I get in the gym and those guys are also getting ready for a fight that they're having in a couple weeks. So it was Master Mir decided to throw me in there, but
work.
I was taken care of, needless to say. I honestly, it could have been much, much worse. I remember the first round I got in, I felt like I was on ice skates. It was very, my feet were trying to remember how to do this. And so I was all over the place. But then I got comfortable, got a couple more rounds in and did a little grappling too. So it was nice. It was fun. I had a little injury. I got kicked in the calf, which did not feel good. And it's been dealing with that sore calf muscle. So
yeah, you came home and your calf was like twice the size of your other calf.
It is so funny that the day after that happened, like you said, swollen pretty significantly. And I was in the gym and Coach Sean was training one of his clients. And his client said, "Hey, Nick," he's like, "Are you going to show me some of those calf exercises you're doing? I want to get calves like you."
And you're like, let me come kick you in the calf.
I had to tell him that it was swollen. And he was like, "Yeah, okay." And then, so he thought I was doing the old straight calf lifts the whole time. Maybe you got one calf implant. Yeah. I can only get one at a time.
Yeah.
It's like when those guys used to buy only rims on one side of their car.
Oh, gosh.
They would always just draw it in a circle so you'd see there outside of the rim.
Don't know this.
Oh, that happens. That's for real. But yeah, that was what I've been doing lately. So that was our training recaps. Both of us staying really busy, which is good. And hopefully you becoming more busier. More busier? That's not how you say it. Busier with the addition of Peloton back into your training routine.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be busier, but I think I'm just going to kind of balance out a little bit more because I took a good 3 months off.
Yeah.
Put the account on hold and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited just to have some opportunities, and I miss that class experience.
Yeah,
That's one of the things I really miss, and it's why I did try to do the stationary bike, just watching TV, and it was like watching paint dry. Yeah. It was so boring, and I was like, oh gosh, like. Actually having someone coach you through the class, that yep. is necessary.
I know.
It's so necessary.
And the group setting, too, is beneficial. You know, obviously you're not there in the room, but you can, you know, there's other people taking class with you.
See the leaderboard and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. That thing. That part's cool. And you guys are probably saying, what are they talking about? We'll tell you soon enough when we do our next episode. Yeah. Or we do another episode on the Peloton. But the group setting kind of segues into our first article we're going to discuss. You found this recently on NPR.
Yeah.
And the headline for the article is a new prescription The headline for the article is a new prescription for depression, join a team and get sweaty. Now, this is a topic we've talked about before, about how exercise is being prescribed as a treatment for depression in a lot of instances as of late. Mm-hmm. This article specifically focused on a study that was done in the Lancet Lancet Psychiatry Journal, and found that popular team sports may have a slight edge over other forms of activity, physical activity, when helping with depression. The study comes from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention survey data of 1.2 million adults across age, gender, education, status, and income, and they found that people who exercised reported fewer days of bad mental health than those who didn't, and those who played team sports reported the fewest.
You know, I think if you look back in your life, when you were doing team sports, I feel like it kind of comes with a certain time frame in your life where this is part social. And it's very elevating and stimulating from a social standpoint, the group fitness. And then obviously the exercise part. So it's not just, I got to work out, but it's rather like, I want to have a good time. I want to be surrounded by other people. Even if you don't talk to them, it's just nice to be in a group setting.
Yeah, we're social creatures. So it's to be isolated. That's kind of like the first, they even say in this article, that's one of the primary characteristics of depression, isolation. Mm-hmm. You know, when you separate yourself from other people and you lack that interaction, that's a very huge contributing factor to depression. So it kind of, when you hear these types of phrases or these kind of conclusions from the study, it's like, it's pretty logical, and that's why they even say in the study, or in the article, I should say, that it's not a tremendous find.
Yeah, it's not breakthrough science.
Exactly.
It's more just reaffirming something that probably a bunch of people have personally used.
Yeah.
But now it's something that doctors could say, well, there was this study.
Right. And it's interesting because, you know, I think we probably talked about it on here. I played adult kickball.
Well, and that was the photo for this article when I was looking for it online. It was a group kickball, which is one of the reasons I thought of you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you are a hardcore kickball. You've got the injuries to prove it.
Yeah, a little too hardcore, unfortunately. But that's what I think. I mean, like, kickball people are like, oh, why are you playing grade school? I mean, like, some kid game. It's honestly, it's just, not only is it exercise, but it's really the interaction you get. And then it's having that team element always kind of includes a sense of accountability, which they also mentioned in the article about how that helps with any type of fitness regimen is accountability.
So important. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the foundations.
It's so hard to convince yourself to just go to the gym. Obviously, there's certain people that have that type of, you know, fortitude and,
and the ability.
Yes, willpower. But it's much easier to think, hey, I need to go to help the team. If I don't go, I'm going to let the team down.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. And I think that's it really, when you're doing any type of health goal or you want to achieve some sort of health goal, you really should look for some sort of support system, some sort of support group, whether it be a class, whether it be a team, whether it be even like at Tampa Strength with my ETT clients, they have semi-private training. I mean, they have guys, I have guys that work together in the same hour, and they love that aspect. They like that hour not only because they get to come and work out, but they get to work out with their buddies, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big part, I think, about of fitness and exercise that makes it really, it's more sustainable.
Yeah,
absolutely. Is having that accountability and that excitement about going and part opposed to just, you know, gosh, I got to do this again.
It seems less of an obligation, even if it's something like I think anybody who's done a team sport, like I think more than group fitness, especially team sports, you may be feeling one day like, oh gosh, I don't really want to go, but you know, it's like, oh, they'd have to find a sub for me. And you end up going, and it's so much better that you don't regret it. Like, it's something that you don't ever regret, unless, I guess, if you do get some crazy, ridiculous injuries. Like, some people.
All right.
Beep,
I get
beep.
It.
I'm pointing a finger at you. But, yeah, it's really not anything you ever end up regretting, whereas you kind of learn to know if you don't go, that's when you're going to regret it. And that's kind of the thing that keeps you going back. Because you're like, oh, man, this is like I could just skip it because I have to work late tonight. But I'm going to regret this
whenever
later.
Whenever you have the added kind of, I guess, like responsibility of kind of upholding it, like, you know, helping – I would say just like making sure you don't let people down.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's just kickball. I mean, it's a silly game, but when you just have that added little extra requirement of, you know, kind of being there for people, I think that motivates a lot of people. And I think that's why group workouts and team, especially this article showed us and this study showed us that team sports can help you keep a regular fitness routine.
And it's good to be a team player. Boom.
Wow. Put that on a t-shirt.
Mic
so,
drop.
A couple ideas from this article to how to get started. If you're wondering if, you know, how do I get into team sports, find a sports ambassador. So if you know a buddy that is big into kickball or into softball or into a sport that you like, which is another thing of how to get started, you find something that you like. That's a way you can kind of get into it. You know, there's always, especially like, you know, adult leagues being advertised on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. You can find them through, social networks. You can find them through just like searches. That meetup site is another one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And then I think like even if you work at a large office building, guaranteed there's somebody in there that knows.
Yeah.
Or like they even have 15 different leagues that office is part of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they say match your skill level. So, which is important. You don't want to go to any real serious leagues.
You don't want to feel like the kid that got picked last either, you know?
Yeah. You want find something that's recreational. They'll usually tell you about, you know, like what the kind of difficulty level is when you're signing up for it. So.
Yeah, something that fits your skill level, but also like
your enjoyment,
your enjoyment and your strength.
Yes, exactly. So kind of quick ideas, they said join a run or bike club. That's another. There's a lot of run clubs that start at bars that I've found around here.
Oh, my gosh.
We have one that meets, I think, Sunday morning in Hyde Park when we're going out there having coffee. We see them out there. And
yeah.
It's cool. I mean, they run, and then I think they all go get breakfast, and they sit around and talk. So it's like, if that's a part of the aspect that you're looking for, just like you said, the social interaction. Just it's hard, especially when, like, I remember when I moved to Denver and I didn't have anybody. Like, I moved in with a couple of roommates I knew in college, but just very, you know, not very well. And then I found Train Fight Win out there. I found Mike in L.A., and that became my basically support group out there. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So finding that, especially if you're new to a city or something, that's huge. And another thing they said on how to get started is put your money on the line. So pay for, you know, obviously the... You're gonna have to pay. Not everything is cheapo. You get what you pay for.
And it helps also, like, mind wise. It tricks your brain into thinking that you have to get your money's worth.
Yes.
And so you go, even if you're hesitant. You're like, well, I paid for it.
Yeah.
You'll be better off.
Adds an extra level of accountability. Trust me, I'm a personal trainer. I know that trying to sell people basically workouts, honestly, if they tried hard enough, they could create them themselves. I don't want to tell them myself.
Well, there's like tons of like home ones you can do and everything. Exactly. It's like,
or you can buy a $10 membership to a gym and just research your workouts. But people pay for personal trainers because they really need the accountability. They need a fitness czar, essentially, to keep them on track.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here to do. Keep you on track.
Oh, boy. Now he's pointing the fingers at the microphone.
So, yeah, check out those guys. We're going to put links to this article, so if you guys want to learn or research or read more about this study. But honestly, if you're ready to get your regular fitness routine going, join a team.
Yeah.
And also, do these next 5 steps we're about to list, goal setting. We're actually going to list, we're going to do 5 goal setting strategies from Dr. Kimberly O'Brien, a...
naturopathic doctor.
Thank you. I did not know how to say that, and I'm glad you're here. So she, this is from her website, healthylifereDesign.com. Sorry, I could only...
blurred together.
Lifer Design? Wait, so healthylifereDesign.com, and she gives out 5 different types of strategies you can use for goal setting when making try to achieve health goals, try to achieve fitness goals, which is huge. We've talked about SMART goals on the podcast before, I believe, and we're going to touch on it right here because she kind of alludes to it a little bit in her 5 goal setting strategies. So number 1, be clear on your goal and your why. That thing is... That phrase, your why, is something I've heard a lot from people as of late. Like, it's kind of self-explanatory, but, like, what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing.
Like, the motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
The real, like, down, deep motivation.
Mm-hmm. That's why she talks about, like, sure, things like reducing carbs or things is great, but why do you want that? And we kind of touched on that a little bit, or I touched on it a little bit when I did my coaching session with Dr. Glenn Livingston. He's like, why? Because, I mean, my food rule was no chocolate after 8 p.m. And you look at that on the surface, you're like, okay, that's it. But then you're like, why do that? How is that going to benefit your health? And then you list off those things and think, how are those benefits going to benefit you down the road? And you start extrapolating, you kind of open up, you kind of, I guess, zoom out mm-hmm. is a good way of saying it. And then you see how beneficial those one simple rule can be can change your life for the better. Well,
yeah, and I think a lot of things are one small simple thing is part of a much larger drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people think, well, I want to lose 5 pounds. Well, why do you want to lose 5 pounds? Maybe it's because you specifically just hate how clothes fit. And maybe, you know, like, it's like a self-image thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like the more health and medical side. Some people say, well, you know, I want to walk 10 miles every single week. It's like, well, why is that the case? Like, mm-hmm. you feel like you need to move your body more. You feel like you want to burn some extra calories. Like, yeah, it's kind of when you start zooming out and getting less refined, you start seeing how that one small goal really does kind of spider out to a much larger, deep motivation.
I agree. And I think that's awesome because that, and not only is it, it gives you more motivation. When you see how this one thing can especially spawn into different things, that's really beneficial to you and keeps you a little bit more dedicated to that goal. So number two strategy, second strategy, goal setting. Get specific.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of the where the SMART acronym, is that right? Acronym?
Yeah.
You know what SMART is? Isn't that an acronym? Yeah. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely. Boom, Anna remembered it. How about that?
That's impressive.
So, yeah, so she kind of talks about four important characteristics that your goals must contain. Same thing, the SMART.
Yeah.
Having those things when you make your goals is really, it can help attribute to your success. Trying to do something like, I want to lose 40 pounds in 6 weeks. That is tough.
It's not realistic.
I want to stop eating dry food or drive-through.
Dry food? I'm like, that's a weird diet.
I want to stop eating drive-through or fast food. I want to stop eating fast food. Well, if you're hooked on it, that's tough. You know, maybe stop saying, I want to stop eating in my car. Something like, make more attainable goals because that gives you better chances of success, and your success can helps kind of spawn more success.
Yeah, well, the important thing in any goal is to basically track and measure and know what those key performance indicators are because you operate best when you get constant feedback. That's just kind of how human beings are. We don't exist in a void. That's why we are social creatures. So when you have things that you can check off, or you can say like, oh, okay, so I increased this number today, you know, that's good. You actually see that. It's constant feedback for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make them very specific and you follow that kind of SMART model, that means that you constantly have your own results cheering you on.
Right. Yeah, and you can kind of go back and see how you've done.
Exactly.
Yeah. It
serves as its own kind of constant motivation.
The number three strategy is select a breakthrough goal and create a plan. Kind of like you were just talking about. Just you create a goal, kind of a really not unattainable goal, because we just talked about how we need to make SMART goals, but you need to action steps. You also need to create action steps in order to get through this goal, because you can't just say, hey, I want this goal. How are you going to attain it? So you gotta do a little planning. You know, you can't just go at it willy-nilly. You gotta have your checkpoints of, and your steps and how you're going to get there.
Yeah, it's kind of like, think of it like a roadmap. You know, it's like you don't just plan to get in your car and then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to this other state.
Mm-hmm.
You don't plan to just magically get to the other state. You have to follow a roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what it is when you create these kinds of plans, is you're just laying out the map. And you might have a few wrong turns along the way, but it's the fact that you know the direction and you know kind of those key landmarks that you're looking for to say, okay, I can keep going.
Yeah. And it's kind of like you're like you said, you're going to a destination, so you've got to have those little stops on the way. So it's like maybe you have one big lofty goal, but then you make all those small SMART goals there to get you there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about trying to get there as quick as possible. You just take one step at a time or one
town at a time. You feel fulfilled each step of the way as you kind of reach each of those little milestones.
Gets you a little momentum going towards a big goal. Number four, which I think is good and I need to get back into because I used to do this, write down your goals and review them daily.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's huge. Just looking, it's having just something to see, a tangible thing to see, whether it's on your phone or on a piece of paper or on your computer every day you look at it, that is huge. Just in your mind, if you don't have it tangible, for some reason it's almost like it's not real.
You know? Well, yeah, this is actually a really key step in a lot of kind of manifestation processes, mm-hmm. which I know you and I have talked about yep. privately. And like yep. anybody that I would recommend who is interested in doing manifestation, this is a really important, not only would I say as someone who's starting and is new to kind of the concept of manifestation, but even someone who's really advanced at it.
Yeah.
This just helps you get clear, because the truth is, even if you say you know your goal, unless you visually look at it or you hear it and you say it to yourself every single day, you will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, life gets in the way.
Right.
But when you have that reiteration of it, it becomes almost like a mantra.
Right.
And it's something that you create as part of like the heartbeat to your day, and you know this is just what you're marching towards.
Yep. Yeah, it's huge. And I agree, and I think I need to get back to that. You know,
start visualizing your yeah, goals exactly. and all that. And
visualize. I always do a lot of visualization, always kind of thinking ahead about even type of possible kind of roadblocks to getting my goals. I visualize what I do when I get to those roadblocks. So that's something I'm always big on, but I like the idea of writing
it out. Yeah.
It feels good. Number five, big one.
Don't go it alone.
Yeah. You don't have to do these goals by yourself. You can create a group. Maybe you can create a challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can create a Facebook page, or maybe host it, or group with some people on Instagram, yeah. maybe per se.
Oh, what?
Segway.
So, yeah, we teased it in the beginning, guys. ETT, and of course, all the Addicted to Fitness podcast listeners are more than welcome to join the ETT Challenge. I started this, and I've kind of done this for myself last couple of years before Thanksgiving, or leading up to Thanksgiving, just kind of giving myself like kind of weekly health goals. They're mostly nutrition based, because let's be serious, Thanksgiving is
the holidays.
The holiday.
I would yes, say that this is like a pre-holiday challenge.
Yeah.
Too many people wait until after the holidays to do challenges. You do a pre-challenge, it kind of sets you up to get through the yeah. holidays better. And then you can do whatever you want on the other side.
Right.
But it's going to be easier.
Maybe we'll do this and kind of like make Thanksgiving our celebration day, and then yeah. start another challenge till Christmas.
I would say the holidays, like, you know, as most people, the high food consumption and crazy hectic schedules, it's like Christmas through New Year's. So yeah, I would say do, for people who are thinking about their New Year's resolutions, don't wait till New Year's. Take a pre-holiday challenge. So the ETT challenge
yep.
is perfect, because you're going to be setting yourself up for more awareness than you would have otherwise when you actually go through the holidays. So mm-hmm. even though your challenge ends, and you tell me the details again.
So yeah, as of right now, the way the challenge stands, and it's always, I'm open for modifications, but it is runs from basically, it was started the Tuesday of this week, which for you guys will be a week from
It'll be the beginning of November. If
yeah,
you want.
It started 30 days before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Essentially, basically you get weekly challenges leading up to Thanksgiving, and they're all cumulative, so they build on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's blank, blank, blank until Thanksgiving. So first week was I'm not going to drink alcohol until Thanksgiving.
No more beers.
Yes, no more beers. No types of alcohol. So with that, I was abstaining, you know, going dry.
So that means our next date night's probably not going to be at a bar, huh?
No. We already got a nice restaurant picked out, though. So
I know.
We're going for the food. Who cares about the beer? yeah. And then I've got one already picked out for next week. I guess I should tease it, because it's going to be Monday. When you guys are going to be the first to know. I haven't even released this on Instagram yet.
Oh, you're going to be the first one.
You have to keep a food journal until Thanksgiving.
Can be digital, though, right?
Can be digital. Oh, yeah. I will give a suggestion on our preferred. Well, we can do it right now. I'm using the Lose It app right now.
Yeah.
One of our favorite. Good. You know, guys, just go to the app store, search Lose It.
Free.
It's free, and it's great because it has a crazy database of food, has a barcode scanner, so mm-hmm. you can just hold it up to the barcode on the food and it gets all the nutritional information.
So easy.
Even there, I think maybe the paid version, they have like a picture, like a little, you can take yeah. a picture of something and they might be able to it like can figure it out. Sometimes
like guess what it is.
Right. So we actually reviewed the Lose It app on yep. the podcast before.
Yep.
Check out that past episode, too.
Yeah.
Got a lot of links.
But food journaling is really important because yes. that is your accountability and awareness driver.
Yeah, and we just talked about it, writing it down.
Yeah.
That's like the thing. It's essentially you're writing it down. When you see it, and that's when I tell people whenever my first piece of advice for anybody who needs some help with nutrition is
journal your food. Yep.
Document your food. Once you see it in tangible form, you start realizing where your calories are coming from or where your hangups are.
The same thing with like budgeting and stuff like yep. that. It's like literally track every penny and yep. you'll go, what? I same spent thing. How much money on Starbucks?
Yep. So if you guys want to join the ETT challenge, all you have to do is send me a message on Facebook or Instagram. I want to be posting it on my stories, hashtag ETT challenge.
Yeah. And you actually have a highlight in your Instagram profile yes. that kind of spells out each week. So mm-hmm. if you're trying to catch up, maybe you're saying, oh, it's 2 weeks in, I don't want to do it, whatever. Like, feel free to apply this whenever you want.
Right.
And maybe, like, make each of the weekly challenge, if you're starting closer, make them only a few days.
Yeah. And also,
it
doesn't matter when you enter, because anybody who does enter has the chance to win some prizes from yours truly.
Oh.
I'm just doing a random drawing of all the contestants, and I'm giving a free month of online training and nutrition counseling. So
awesome.
Online personal training, so fitness training, and along with the nutrition counseling. So you guys are automatically entered. It's basically a random drawing. Doesn't matter when you enter. So don't enter on the last day. Don't be that person. But, you know.
You need to at least enter, what, probably 2 weeks,
yeah, give
week
about,
and a half.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, in order to make the giveaway portion of yeah. this. But if you want to do it and then, you know, do it in a month from now, maybe after Thanksgiving if you really yeah. want to be aggressive. But what I was saying earlier was that if you think about you're going to do these challenges and you're going to become hyper aware, you're going to be tracking your food, you're going to know how much food you're eating, you're going to know what you're eating, you're going to go into the holidays being so much more open-eyed about the food and its effect on you and, you know, like the healthy habits that you've been working on in this challenge. You're probably going to do a lot better during the holiday season itself.
Yep.
Like during that subsequent period where you might be an overindulger a lot,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's a lot less
yep.
after doing this kind of challenge. So that's why I'm a big believer in the pre-holiday challenge.
I agree.
Versus the post-New Year's yeah. challenge.
Post? Come on, guys. Like, get on the bandwagon before.
Yeah, let's set up some new habits and like open your eyes now so that come the holidays, you don't have to fret.
Yes. Guys, go to addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. This week's show notes will have links to our the ETT Instagram, so you guys can find out all about the ETT challenge. And like Shannon says, you guys can click on the highlight in our profile to learn more about it. And we want you to join. In addition to that, please go to iTunes or the Apple Podcast app or any app or your preferred podcast app, I should say.
Yeah.
Give us that rating review. It helps us reach more people, and it can get you on a future podcast.
Yeah, we do listeners talk back for those wonderful reviews. So leave them. Let us know what you think.
All right. You got anything else for them this week?
Nothing.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at the ATF Podcast and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
for stopping by and checking out this week's, I almost said edition, sorry.
Edition of fitness? It's the edition of fitness.
The edition.